Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 3. Luke, chapter 3, the title of our message this morning, it's the temptations of Christ. The temptations of Christ. Now, may I say this? Some of us may be tempted to be fearful by what's going on in today's world. We think of the 28-year-old man that's in charge of North Korea. And he has surrounded himself with those who are warmongers. And he has said, that being the leader of North Korea, that he has nuclear arms and he's aiming it towards where? America. And we have begun to move our anti-missile missiles to the West Coast. And we may be tempted to be fearful. We may think of what is happening in Iran and their sword rattling and how that they want to drive Israel into the sea. May I ask you, what's going to happen if Iran attacks Israel? Where will that leave America? Well, we think of what's happening in Syria and the civil war that's going on. And may I say this, what's happening in the Middle East is something that is going to eventually affect us here. Well, we may be tempted to be afraid, but may I say this, all things must come to pass that the Lord's will be done. And may I say this, I hope you're prepared because I think the time is short. I hope you're prepared to meet your Lord. I hope you're ready. But temptations come. If they came to Jesus, do you think they'll come to you? Now, we can talk about temptations, and I'm not talking about the chocolate chip cookies that may be on the platter that you've been told by your wife or your mother don't touch, and they look so appetizing. I'm not talking about those type of temptations. Do you know what the number one temptation is to Christians? I'm going to tell you what the number one temptation is. It's not to be in the house of God. Now you say, we're here, but we don't meet just at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. We have Sunday school, we have Sunday night, we have midweek service, we have time to pass out handbills concerning Easter Sunday, and the temptation is let someone else do it. But do you think that the Lord, if he was a member of the Covenant Baptist Church, do you think he'd be part of the services? Thank you for the four of you who thinks he's here today. See, where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst. May I say this? Temptations come, and they come to Christians. And one of them is, I don't have to serve the Lord in church to be a good Christian. May I say this? Yes, you do. If you're going to be a good Christian, you need to be in church with God's people, serving the Lord. But temptation comes, and may I say this, sometimes it's hard to get out of the easy chair on a Sunday evening, and you're thinking, well, there are things I can watch on television. Be careful what comes between you and your Lord. Be careful what comes between you and serving the Lord faithfully. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, if you would, chapter 3, and let's stand together. And then we'll be reading two verses from here and moving over to chapter 4. May I say this? We need to be on guard against temptations. But many times, it's not temptations, it's really our own desire. I don't believe always that Satan is tempting us. I think sometimes it's just simple flesh. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. If you would, chapter 4. And verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and to look into your word. And Lord, we are thankful that you were victorious over our enemy. That, Lord, you were victorious even when hungry. That you did not allow physical discomfort to get in the way of doing that which is right. Lord, may we do that which is right in serving you faithfully. In Jesus, and we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. In Luke 3, we find not only the genealogy of Mary, mother of Jesus, but also of John the Baptizer, who submitted to the request of Jesus to be baptized of him. In Luke 4, we begin with Jesus returning from the Jordan River region and being led of the Spirit, went into the wilderness for 40 days. You may say, where is the wilderness? The wilderness is where temptation lies. We live in a wilderness today. Now you say, oh, we live in a metroplex. That's true, but we live in a wilderness of temptations. We see them on the television. We hear them on the radio. They're in the magazines. Temptations are there. We see them as we walk through the mall. We see temptations. We are tempted to follow the fashions of the world. We are tempted to follow the pleasures of the world. Sometimes we get more excited about what's going on in the sports world than we do about what's going on in the spiritual world. We get more, we get tempted more by Hollywood than by the Word of God. Temptations come our way. How do we handle them temptations that come our way? During that 40-day time span, according to Matthew 4, tells us that Jesus fasted. How many of you broke your fast this morning? See, that's why they call it breakfast. It's to break your fast. You didn't eat. Well, most of us didn't eat during the night. I worked for a man when I was in Texas. His name was Bob Allman. And Bob Allman kept by his bed a electric coffee pot and a pack of cigarettes. And he would wake up during the night to take a coffee break and to smoke a cigarette or two. He told me repeatedly he could stop that anytime he wanted to. I thought, uh-huh. But then one day he said, Paul, don't ever start smoking or drinking. I think he said drinking coffee. But you know, temptations come our way. And they come regularly. Some people are more interested in their portfolio than in their spiritual condition. Where are we today? Jesus, because he was in human flesh, was after 40 days of fasting hungry. Now, I can't imagine going 40 hours. Forty minutes is over here. Do I hear a second? Yes. 40 days. Can you imagine not eating from now to the end of April? I hear many no's. You know, 40 days. He went without it. You say, that's impossible. Jesus did it. I'm not going to call the Bible a liar. 40 days. He went without eating. Well, we find that at the end, he was hungry. You know, it reminds me of the story of the twins in the Old Testament, Jacob and Esau. And Esau had gone out and he'd gone to do some hunting. And when he came back, he was hungry. So hungry that when he smelled a mess of pottage, which is basically just some beans and lentils, he was so hungry that he wanted to eat, and Jacob said, well, I'll give you some if you sell me your birthright. Now, birthright in that time of history, in Old Testament time, the birthright, especially to the oldest, and he was the oldest of the twins, was very important. And yet, he sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. Would Jesus do the same for food? Would he succumb to temptations by Satan? Temptation number one, verse 3. And the devil said unto him, if. You know, Satan always wants you to question your faith. He wants to question your faith in Jesus Christ. He wants to question your service of Jesus. Notice, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now, Jesus, we know, on one occasion took a few loaves of bread and a few fish and fed 5,000 men plus women and children. He could have done it. He is being questioned, though, about who he is, if thou be the Son of God. This is the temptation. This is the response, verse 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, did Jesus come up with these words? No, he is quoting Old Testament scriptures from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. We find man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. The Lord is quoting scripture. May I say this, we can resist the devil by quoting scripture. If we want to be victorious, we will quote scripture. If you would, keeping your place here in Luke, turn to the book of James chapter 4. I believe that we can be victorious over temptation. If I didn't believe that, I'd stop preaching. But I believe that we can be victorious. Ask the alcoholic, you can be victorious. Ask those who have quit smoking, you can be victorious. Ask those who have had some sin in their life, and they overcame it. The book of James, if you would, chapter 4, in verse 7. James 4, 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to who? To God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Is it possible to resist the devil? Absolutely. He can only tempt you. He cannot make you do something wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? He cannot make you do something wrong. The light is red. You saw the yellow light, you stepped on the gas. You know, there was a time when yellow light meant, slow down, the light is turning red, be prepared to stop. What does the yellow light today mean? Step on the gas, the light is about to turn red. But the light is red, and you are there, and you stepped on the gas, and you went through the red light. Now, I'm not going to ask any of you to raise your hand and say, I've done that this past week. I'm not going to ask you to do that. But did the devil make you step on the gas? But you may have been encouraged to do it. And some did it. But you didn't have to. See, temptations may come, but we that are born again can be victorious. Back to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Temptation number two. You know, the problem with Satan is that he doesn't give up. He doesn't give up. I remember when I was in junior high school and a guy named Bob came up to me and he says, hey, I got a cigarette for you. He says, you want to smoke it? And I thought, no way. And he gave me this cigarette. I'm standing there in front of Sterling Junior High School, and I've been given a cigarette, and I'm thinking everybody can see me. Do you know what I did with that? I broke it in two and threw it on the ground. Now, to a junior high boy who is a smoker, taking a cigarette and breaking it and throwing it on the ground, that's money. Boy, that was wrong. Do you know what Bob did? He chased me for three blocks towards my house. He missed his bus. The next day, I was afraid he was going to squish me, but he didn't. Temptations come to us at every age. Every age. Notice verse number five. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For this is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. If you will worship me, may I quickly say this to you, the devil desires your worship also. Note the final thought of verse 7, all shall be thine. The devil is always offering something he cannot give for something he should not have. He's offering you something that you don't need for something you shouldn't give him, and that's your worship. Notice Christ's response, verse 8. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Do you know the Lord there is declaring himself as God? See, Jesus Christ is God. And he is quoting from Deuteronomy 6:16, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God. He is quoting from Scripture. May I say this from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me read a few things that were addressed to the children of Israel, but would do us well also. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Folks, there is only one way into heaven, and it's through our Lord. Verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Continuing in verse 12, it says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Jesus is quoting Scripture. When he wanted to be victorious, he quoted Scripture. Let's go to temptation number 3, beginning at verse 9. Temptation number 3, Luke 4:9, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Satan now uses Scripture to tempt our Lord. After Satan's failure to tempt the Lord away from the Word, he seeks to tempt him by it. We must remember to keep the Scripture right and know what it says. He, however, misquotes by omission of in all thy ways from Psalm 91, verse 11. The Lord's ways were marked out for him in perfect dependence. upon his Father's will. Would you keep your place here in Luke and turn over to the book of Hebrews chapter 10? Hebrews chapter 10. Now, as you have your place in Luke and you have your place in Hebrews, you can hold two places, can't you? I know you are intelligent people. That's why I've given you this small task. Now, keeping your place in Hebrews, look to Christ's response to Satan's third temptation, Luke 4:12. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Do you think you ever tempted the Lord? May I say this? I believe some people tempt the Lord, and because there was not an immediate flash of lightning, we thought, oh, I got away with it. But may I say this? The Lord may let you get away with it for years. I believe this, that the Lord will let you be as miserable as you want to be. And I believe Christians are miserable when they are sinning. I believe that Christians are miserable when they are not in the will of God. And I believe that's why we have problems sometimes with people, because they're not in the will of God and they are miserable. And when people are miserable, they want to make other people what? Miserable. Because misery loves company. Be careful. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Jesus came to do the will of the Heavenly Father, not that of Satan. We find that he was tempted, yet quoting again from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 13, you are not to tempt the Lord. Make sure that you are not tempting the Lord. May I ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Do you believe that you can be victorious over temptations? Maybe some of you were turning your pages and you didn't hear the question. Do you believe that you can be victorious over temptations? Amen. Yes, the answer is amen. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to what? To escape, that ye may be able to bear it. The Lord can give us victory. If we want the victory, it is available. It's available. Once again, back to the book of Luke, and thank you for your willingness to turn to a number of scriptures. Verse 13. Verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed. Now, does the sentence end there? He departed from him for what? A season. What does that tell you? That he came back. Do you remember the story of Joseph? He'd been sold into slavery. His brothers, well, I hate to use the word hate, but his brothers what? They hated him. They hated him so much that some of them wanted to kill him. But they didn't kill him. They didn't want to shed their brother's blood, so they sold him into slavery. And he went down into slavery, and he was bought by a powerful man. Do you remember his name? Potiphar. You guys are smart. Potiphar. And Potiphar put into his hands everything. In fact, I believe the scripture says he didn't know what was his except what was on his plate that he was about to eat. But there was a problem in Potiphar's house. Do you remember what that problem was? His wife, Mrs. Potiphar. Mrs. Potiphar liked Joseph. He was young, apparently looked strong, and she what? She wanted him. She said, lie with me. Now, she's not talking about telling lies, but what? Sleep with him. With her, excuse me. Did he do it? No. He said, no. Did she say, okay? What'd she do? Did she come back again? She came back again. Did she come back again? Again and again and again. See, that's the way sin is. But Joseph said, how can I sin against who? God. Temptations are going to come. The question is, what are we going to do when they do come? Some would say, oh, I couldn't help myself. Is that a true statement? I couldn't help myself. Is that a lie? And who is the father of liars? Satan. See, I knew you guys were smart. You know all the answers. You don't need me to preach. You already know all the answers. May I encourage you? There is victory. I don't have time to go to the book of Ephesians where it talks about the armor that we can put on, but we are told to put on the whole armor of God that we may resist the devil, that we can resist the fiery darts of the devil, that in the end that we may be able to what? To stand. We are to stand for the Lord. Jesus defended the faith with scriptures. We can defend this faith with scriptures. Folks, when temptation comes, use scriptures. Shall we stand together? We're going to have a song of invitation this morning. I surrender all. Have you surrendered your will to the Lord? Have you surrendered that part of you that you are clinging on to most? You'll give the Lord certain parts of you, but there is something many times that we are holding on to that we say, I want control of this. But are we willing to surrender to the Lord everything? In a moment we'll sing. The altar is here. You can come and pray. If you're unable to bend, if you're unable to kneel, you can sit on the front pew and pray there. If you'd like someone to pray with you, you just let us know. We'd be glad to have someone pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, temptations come. Some were even tempted during this service. But Lord, we pray that victory could be ours. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.